It's with great joy that I welcome you all here on this most holy night, the night we celebrate our Lord's resurrection from the tomb to new life, that life which he still enjoys in his resurrected presence in the Blessed Sacrament and at the right hand of the Father. We rejoice today with the elect, who will very soon be baptized, and with our candidates for confirmation, who will profess their full adherence to the Catholic Church's teaching and enter into her arms to become the true children of so noble a mother. And we also rejoice to confirm one who is already Catholic and call forth upon her the anointing of the Holy Spirit unto new life. Tonight is a great night of joy for not only the Church, but for all of humanity, since Adam and Eve first turned their back on the Lord. Death had domain over the human race, and to some extent still does. We still feel the shock waves, the ripples of that first sin, that original sin that we inherit. Our minds are certainly not as sharp as they should be. We have darkness of our intellect. Our wills struggle to do what's good. We suffer pain, and we realize in ourselves that our emotions, our passions, don't always obey what we know is best. We still feel all of these things pulling on us. Even if we are baptized, we still have a good measure, of the cross in this life. We have journeyed with our Lord this week through his betrayal, before that with his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, his intimate gift of himself in the Blessed Sacrament to his disciples at the Last Supper, the ordination of those disciples who were indeed apostles at that same Last Supper, and our Lord's most painful passion, most glorious passion, most beautiful passion, in which his blood was shed for the salvation of the world. As the new Adam, the true Adam, the one who is obedient to the Father, unlike the first Adam, he restores us to that supernatural life that we lost in our parents' first sin. And that is what we celebrate tonight. We celebrate birth unto new life. It is spring for the Church. The long winter of Lent has now ended, and we rejoice at the warmth of the light of Christ, at the sweet smell of the flowers of his garden, of those virtues which blossom, of those gifts of the Holy Spirit that comfort us and give us our Lord's blessing. We rejoice tonight because every difficulty we face in this life, the death of a loved one, the rejection even among a family member or from a family member, the loss of a friend, physical pain, whatever ails us, our Lord conquers tonight. He may call us to unite ourselves with him on that cross, but we are given the firm and certain hope that all of the darkness we experience in this world is defeated tonight by our Lord's resurrection. The light has entered the world, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we will prepare from this point on for the Lord to bestow the Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost and endow her with his power. And he promises that though the gates of hell may war constantly against all that is good and holy and noble in this world, even to the very last tick of the last clock, our Lord reigns victorious. He defeats the evil one, and more importantly, he gives us the grace tonight to defeat our own wickedness, our own weakness, our own evil. We are given the grace of the very love of God. God himself, through the sacraments of the church, comes to be in us, to give us intimacy, to give us new life. And this new life is welcomed tonight in heaven with great joy, and indeed in the weeks coming up to Easter, in the hours of confessions I heard, and I'm sure many, many, many priests in this nation and across the universal church and the world heard, all of heaven has been rejoicing because our Lord's resurrected power and love has been applied to souls already, bringing them to that life that they rejected and now enjoy again. And tonight, all of heaven shakes with joy, as the Exaltet says, this holy building, this church shakes with the joy of the angels and the saints who are mystically present at this holy sacrifice of the Mass. It rejoices that these five daughters and sons of our Lord, daughters and sons by the fact that they are created by that Father, will now become more truly, through adoption, through the indwelling of the Trinity itself, will have that nature of God adhere to their souls in a real but accidental way, and they will have life, and they will have life in abundance. May we be given the grace to rejoice with our Lord, who smiles upon these elect, who smiles upon those entering the church with a joy we cannot fathom. We thank him for giving them the grace to follow him in his passion as they have endured struggles, as they have faithfully attended their catechesis, as they have overcome the lies and tricks of the evil one who indeed has attacked them and tried to keep them away from this life-giving font and from the life-giving chrism that will be bestowed upon them in their baptisms and confirmations. And we also finally rejoice incredibly for them, for they will have the very foretaste of heaven. Heaven, when we leave this life, we have the hope through our Lord's resurrection that that is not the end, that we will have a bodily but different existence, and we will live with our Lord in a new heavens and a new earth in complete and utter bliss. Every longing of our hearts will be fulfilled, and this all flows from the cross and from the resurrection of our Lord, and that is the very foundation of our faith. We believe that the God-man Jesus Christ proves his divinity not only by his miracles and his sublimity of teaching, but because just when you thought he couldn't suffer anymore, you couldn't have tortured and ripped apart the flesh and caused to bleed this man, no man perhaps was more dead than our Lord on the cross. And that corpse, that body without a human soul, in the power of the Holy Spirit, rises on this holy night as King of the universe and conquers the devil and Satan, and he gives himself in the Blessed Sacrament, calls the elect and those receiving their first communion tonight with them to the banquet of the Lamb, the wedding feast of the Lamb. Our Lord desires not only to save us, so to speak, he wants all of us. He wants all of our heart, all of our person, our body, our mind, our soul, our will, every cell, every bit that is us. He wants our whole person. And in the Blessed Sacrament, he gives everything he is, his divinity, his humanity, his body, blood, soul, divinity, to us completely. And that self-gift is the wedding feast that is foreshadowed on this earth at this banquet. And that is the wedding feast that the bride, which we see in Our Lady as the archetypal bride, but also our individual souls, will be espoused to our bridegroom in deep intimacy as he gives all that he is to us, and we give everything we are to the Lord. May those who are receiving the Lord for the first time give all of their hearts with great fervor in his grace to our Lord Jesus in this sacrament. May all of the faithful gathered here give our hearts anew to Christ, that his resurrected power, he transforms us in power, may dwell in us and change our lives and give us the peace, the joy, the love, the meekness, the gentleness, the modesty, the meaning that he promises. And may those who are here that are not able to receive communion because they are not of the Catholic faith, may they encounter our Lord as they spiritually commune with him, the true God, in the Blessed Sacrament from where they sit. We thank the Lord for his love, which gushes forth upon each one of us. We ask him to always cover us in his mercy, and on this night we rejoice with all of heaven, with the Virgin Mary who sees her son come out of the tomb and rejoices with all of her immaculate heart and all of the joy of the bride of the bridegroom. May you all have the joy of Our Lady tonight as you encounter the bridegroom at the wedding feast of the Lamb.